Well, good evening. It's May the I think it's May the 25th. I'm gonna double check here. May the 25th, 2019, and it's your good friend Dan in Little Saigon. And I really don't know what to tell you. It's Memorial Day weekend. And as you probably know, I have very terrible feelings about war in general. It's funny because in my 20s, when I was in my 20s, I was training to be an officer in the military. I spent some of my 20s in the military. And so I kind of believed in that for a while. I really did. I believed in the whole, I don't want to call it, I don't know what to call it. I call it the patriotism scam. You're a patriot if you die for your country. I think, when I was growing up, I believed that America was a free country. And so my basic contention would have been, you're a patriot if you stand up for freedom. If someone were to confront me about my oath from 1996, if they were to say, Dan, didn't you take that oath in 1996? Yes, I did. To protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Which ultimately meant if some agency of this country was doing damage to the Bill of Rights, in theory, every officer in the military was obligated to do something. That's the principal moral obligation. You find yourself in a state of war. In a free republic, if this were actually a free republic, the officer corps of this country would be in a state of war specifically against the Federal Reserve right now. Like, you would have the 10th Mountain Division surrounding the Federal Reserve if the officers of the military took their oath seriously. But what they've been doing is defending the crocodile. And so I do feel it's a tragedy when young men and women go to war and die. Like my dad, he went to war. He didn't die in war. But there's a good chance he took something home with him that probably killed him later on. So the thing is, it's a tragedy when people die because of war. It's a tragedy when something horrible happens. And no matter how you feel about it, whether it's a bullet to the head or whether it's, somebody was involved in dropping Agent Orange and all of a sudden they get cancer and die, or they worked in the nuclear programs and died of radiation later on. Whatever the fucking way it is, people dying because of some military bullshit is terrible. It is a tragedy. But I have to be blunt about this, and I have to be specific that even though I feel sorry for people who lose people they love in any kind of tragedy, especially when it's an avoidable one like war, we can avoid it. You can't really avoid a volcano. If Mount Rainier goes off, it goes off. We can't avoid that. But we can avoid the Mount Rainiers we create. We can avoid these stupid wars. These are choices. These are actual choices we make. These are deliberate, specific choices to take a portion of our labor, a portion of our effort, our work, and direct it towards violence. Direct it towards destruction. So yeah, I don't know what to tell you about Memorial Day weekend. I know that I have brothers and sisters who would, and maybe, and I think there might be reason to go visit my dad's grave. Even though he technically didn't die in World War II, there's a chance that, yeah, something happened to him that is kind of related to that bullshit. So who knows? Who knows? The point is, I have siblings who will be thinking about my dad this weekend. They'll be thinking about all those people they've lost to war. And I do feel sorry for people who lose people to these terrible human tragedies. I think they are avoidable. Frankly, I think much of the quote-unquote cancer epidemic, whatever you want to call it, is avoidable. It's another form of human bullshit that is avoidable. I only mention this and you say, well, this is a non sequitur, Dan. Well, no, it's not. Because I believe that there are many forms of avoidable bullshit, like war, that I wish we would stop doing. I wish we would stop poisoning the air. I wish we would stop poisoning the water. I wish we would stop poisoning the ground. And no, I don't mean, well, Dan, do you want the crocodile to get a bigger gun to point at people? No. I want the crocodile to dry up and go away. I want people to make voluntary choices, free voluntary choices to do better. That is the only way any of this gets fixed. You know, people keep talking about freedom like it's optional, like it's some kind of, well, you get to have it if everything's perfect. Folks, red alert time. If you want to avoid the extinction of the human race, you have to have liberty. It is the only way we adapt to our surroundings in a way that is rational. Every other way is some type of Keynesian bullshit. And now we're dealing with the fact that we spent the last century, probably in economic terms, pulling forward about, I don't know, 200 or 300 years of demand. And suddenly we think we're going to just ride that storm out and it's going to be no fucking big deal. I really don't understand it, folks. I really don't. But it is Saturday night, so maybe it's not the right time to get too fucking serious. What I will say is that I do respect people who decide to fight for a principle they believe in. I must respect that, and I do feel sad for people that have been lost to war. But the greatest honor we could do to any fallen person on Memorial Day weekend is to end these stupid fucking wars, period. To end the military-industrial complex, to, in the very least, reduce the size of the crocodile, as impossible as that is, and I know it is. I know as an anarchist it's impossible, but I would plead to those who actually do believe in smaller government to think about what war has done to America. I don't think it's helped anybody, and I think it's right from the beginning. I mean, don't pretend that suddenly we became an evil warfare state. Listen, folks, we from the perspective of Native Americans, we were an evil warfare state almost from the beginning of that moment that the ink dried on the U.S. Constitution. From the perspective of Native Americans, we were the Nazis when the ink dried. That's what we were. So don't pretend that suddenly we became bad. I am so sick and tired of that fucking bullshit. The way the system was designed, it was bad from the beginning. We had a period of time, and it's not often spoken about. It was what, 4 or 5 years of American history, half a decade of American history that gets buried. The period of the Articles of Confederation. There was a period when this country was probably technically a free country. And the powers that be could allow that for about 5 fucking years. That's something to meditate on, folks. They had to create their little Hamiltonian dream of a fucking constitution type, you know, frickin' everybody on the plantation being a good little slave society. And, you know, I used to be one of those frickin' apologists who would say, well, at least there was Benjamin Franklin, and he gave us the Bill of Rights. And that's how I know as a libertarian, the crocodile can be tamed. But I'm telling you, folks, the crocodile is probably untamable. And it probably just dies. It becomes a monster, and then it dies. It really is that type of a thing. It's so diseased, so horrible. It is the reason why. You know, it's the reason why. The Lord in heaven shook his head when the Israelites demanded a king. It's like, listen, I led you to the promised land. You have the liberty to worship me and no one else. You can live good and decent lives with each other. You don't have to be told what to do at the point of a spear, because, you know, there were no guns back then, right? But they say, no, we, you know, all the fancy people have kings. So we got to have a king. Fuck. And I know the Lord in heaven doesn't like it when I swear, and I got to admit to something. I haven't prayed enough recently. Ugh, that's not a good thing. That is cycle of apostasy bullshit right there. That's me being a bad Christian. I have not said any prayers in a while. I've been really stressed out about work. I will say it's a good job. Because I want to switch topics. I wanted to talk about that war bullshit. I think I had an item on here related to that topic. I don't know. Yeah, I actually want to finish this topic out by checking one off my list. And so you know, I'm trying to keep a list now. It's weird. I know it's weird. I'm trying to do a list thing. I'm trying to, you know, keep my ideas in a kind of book so that I don't lose track of them. I've got this new data recorder and I'm kind of paranoid about it. It's supposedly better than my Tascam. I think I will find out when I do my first podcast type recording, and I'm going to bring my Tascam as an emergency backup because I think, you know, things are that screwed up sometimes. You can spend a lot of money on something and get screwed. But supposedly, this H4N Pro, if you use it correctly and its instructions are so simple, and there's no sarcasm. So far, it seems okay. But supposedly, it's, you know, it's the bee's knees. So I'm going to be using this for my first sort of in-person interviews. And then I'm going to try to get better at using Skype for interviewing people over Skype. I think I need to do something like that. I think I have some people out there that it would be interesting to talk to over Skype if they would be interested. It could get weird because when you talk about Skype, things get crazy. People can say crazy shit over the web. But yeah, so I'm sitting here drinking coffee. It's Saturday night, and I want to finish off this war subject. Because it is Memorial Day weekend, and it is the weekend we memorialize those men and women who've given their life to the crocodile. And the crocodile pretends to be very sad, and it does ceremonies, and it fires cannons, and it drinks a lot, and it imagines the sweet days of war and how wonderful they are to the crocodile. Yeah, this is that weekend. And I will tell you, one of the ways people get guilted into this bullshit, I will tell you, it's about this whole, I support the troops. And I will also say, the crocodile, of all the little quips and phrases, of all the little bandied about, you know, statements we have, the fucking platitudes, I support the troops is probably one of the worst. It's one of the simplest. It's one of the shortest shortcuts to thinking. It's the easiest way to get to the stop sign, okay? You don't have to think very hard. You just say, oh, I support the troops. I'm a really, really, really decent person. I support the troops. Look at how nice I am. Look at how good I am. I support the troops. And that's one of those things I think about a lot. You know, like, do people understand that it's possible to care about a person without supporting their activity? Like, you know, people might care about someone who is an alcoholic, okay? They might be concerned about them, but they don't necessarily want them to be an alcoholic. I am concerned about the troops. I would like all the troops to come home. If anything, you know, if we're going to have people doing stuff, have them do something useful. Not blow shit up, but maybe build some things. But the point is, I'm an anarchist. I would rather there be no war. If we could start there, if we could just start with the no war, as an anarchist, I know things would get better. Because the war bullshit, of all the crocodile bullshit, of all the crocodile bullshit, and there's a lot of it, the crocodile is at its worst and truly in its most disgusting form in the guise of war. And so if you don't know, if you're a new time listener, short time thinker, if you just listen to my podcast for the first time, when I say crocodile, you can just substitute government. And I don't simply mean government as in those people you vote for, because really they're just representatives to the government. They're the representatives to the crocodile. I mean that disgusting structure of corporate insider crony bullshit contracting relationships and super corporate structures that run our fucked up lives. I mean that. And it's big and it's everywhere. And that's all it can do is grow and be everywhere. That's the crocodile. That's what I mean. So if I say crocodile, I mean government, but I mean that disgusting mass that's more than just, oh, I voted for my congressman. Well, guess what? The government's more than just who you voted for. I hate to break it to you. There is a kind of permanent government, and it really is the crocodile. It is a permanent thing. It lives forever. It replaces its cells. You can think of every government worker as a cell of the crocodile, and it just replaces them. It gets diseased, I think, and it probably gets its own kind of cancer, but that's why empires collapse, and you just have to hope they collapse in gentle ways. If somebody says to me, I support the troops, do you support the troops? All I can say to them is, yes, I support people not being murdered in war. And more importantly, I support people not being ordered to kill people. I would support an end to that bullshit. Just right now, I support the troops, if that's what that means. If it means I support more people going to war to kill more people, then no, I don't support that. That's bullshit. That's the stuff that we need to put an end to. That is optional. Volcanoes might not be optional. They probably aren't. We probably don't have the technology to stop a volcano. Hurricanes may or may not be optional. Depends upon whether you believe, people like Dane Wigington and all the climate engineering stuff. And I don't want to go into that because that's really a dark, 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 dark subject. They say cancer is natural, so maybe that's not optional either. Car accidents, if they happen, they happen. But the point is, the military bullshit, the blowing people up on purpose, that bullshit's optional. We can choose not to do it. So if we're going to go around the world blowing people up, we better have a good fucking reason. And the reason I see currently is to maintain a kind of economic system that's based around petroleum. And I understand it. Listen, I'm a realist. I know that there's no magical replacement. If you want to tell me, Dan, have you ever heard of peak oil? Listen, I know why they're boiling tar sands in Canada. I know why we're fracking. I know why the optimal price point. Excuse me, I got a little dry there for a second. The optimal price point for the production of oil is higher than the optimal price point for the market clearing of it, which means that the oil producers need a higher price than what the market can pay. This is not a good situation. The only way stuff like this ever happens is in places like the Soviet Union, when they nationalize it and they basically everyone subsidizes it. And guess what, folks? I'm going to let you on a little fucking secret at this stage, vis-a-vis the petroleum solution to our energy needs. We could be at the stage now where we may end up nationalizing oil and then going around explicitly stealing people's oil. But it is bullshit. It is wrong. We could choose a better path. Listen, you don't have to be an anarchist. I don't give a fuck if you are. I really don't. I believe in my philosophy, but I can't control people and what they think, and I don't want to. That's kind of the nature of my fucking belief system. But you probably, I would hope, care about people. You don't want to see the human race destroyed. So there are lots of things that we could say, well, I don't agree about abortion, or I don't agree about, this or that. But I think rational thinking people, socialist, libertarian, Republican, Democrat, rational thinking people can agree that war is optional. That there are much better ways for us to resolve our differences, and we need to stop the militaristic bullshit immediately. And it could very well be that one of the ways we destroy ourselves. I don't know if it's going to be the way. I kind of suspect this self-destruction may be a feature of life. I mean, I'm beginning to believe that the Fermi paradox has an explanation. I don't know. I think I have that listed as a topic, so I don't know if I want to go there. But I want to close out this topic. If you're one of those people who will come up to me and say, Dan, thank you for your service on Veterans Day. Well, number one, I was never in combat, and I kind of think Veterans Day is about people who are in combat. So that's number one. Number two, I used to say I don't regret having served. But if I had really understood the world in my early 20s the way that I understand it now, I would probably say I wish I hadn't served. I think that people can make that choice, especially when you're young. It's especially for young men who are lost. And I was a young, lost man. I was lost. I had no freaking direction. I really didn't. I didn't know where I was going to end up. I kind of felt like life was a big suck fest. I have to tell you that my teenage years on the surface to people around me may have seemed like a John Hughes film, but they weren't like that. I don't know. Was it John Hughes? I want to double check this because I don't like spouting some type of Kentucky bullshit. I want to back up my weird statements, and I got the internet right here. John Hughes, I want to say 16 Candles. Let's just go movie. It'll probably be listed at the top. Fuck. Yep, 16 Candles and fucking. I think he was also, wasn't he the one that did the whole, I don't know. Anyway, John Hughes movies. We all know John Hughes. I'm not talking about some other John Travolta. I'm talking about John Hughes. Anyways, for some people who looked at my life back in the 80s, they probably thought I was in a John Hughes movie. I wasn't. It was pretty bad. And my relationship with my dad was quite terrible. So I was one of those young men who got lost and saw the military as some way out. And it really was a stupid series of decisions when I look at it in retrospect. Now, also, I would say I met some good people. I met one guy, and I won't mention his name to protect him, but I met one dude who I think of as being one of the most honorable men I've met in this life so far. And all I can say is I hope he's safe. And if he knows who he is, I hope he knows that I hope he's safe. I hope he and his wife are safe. I hope that they are in a safe place, that their world is working. I miss a lot of the cadets. I was in ROTC with. They were good. They are probably still good people. And they made choices. And we're all in a weird place now. And we all have to make choices about what we believe and where we stand. And some people might accuse me of not taking a stand because I'm not going to support one version of the war party or another because I see it all as the same war party. Well, that's the point, is that whether it's Democrat or Republican, everyone's got their pet battles, their pet wars, their pet, freaking campaigns of death. And I cannot believe Americans are just so oblivious to this. It's kind of sad, but it's worse than sad. It's kind of scary. It's sort of the riddle when people say, well, Dan, how did the Germans end up becoming so Nazi, right? Like, how did they support the Nazis? How did they accept the Nazis? How did they end up supporting so much militarism and evil? And it's really, it is the parable of the boiled frog, but it is the process of just, it's kind of more insidious. It's the process of how people's values are destroyed. And then they end up one day and they don't have any values. Everything is just eat, fuck, sleep, kill. Everything is primitive and everything is broken. And at that point, you end up with dictators and you end up with people that are monsters in charge. Anyways, I'm just going to tell you straight up. If you've lost somebody in a war, I am sorry for you, and I pray for you, and I hope that you can find peace. And I hope and I pray we can all find some peace. In fact, I would propose the following. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every Memorial Day weekend from now until the end of time, we basically sign an agreement, a treaty with all the countries of the world, and we say on that weekend we're just not going to have any war. We'll have picnics, we'll have barbecues. If people want to cross the lines, let them cross the lines, but we're not going to be killing each other on that particular day. No invading towns, no raping, no setting things on fire, none of that. For a whole fucking day. Everybody. Not just America, we're not the only culprit. Our crocodile is not the only jackass crocodile. But what if all the crocodiles could just hang out and drink for the weekend? No death. Anyways, I'm also trying to like constrain my podcast so that they're more grouped. So I'm gonna just say I covered that topic and then I don't know. I was gonna go in a certain order. I want to clear these out. So let's do that. Let's try to follow some type of rational process here. I don't want it to end up being chaos. You know, that's the other thing that pisses me off. I know I bring this up a lot, but whenever people talk about anarchism, whenever they mention the word anarchy ever in the media, in a movie, in anything, it's always like, well, what would you want? Anarchy? And the word they should be using is chaos, but they won't admit to themselves, they can't admit to themselves that the principal agent of chaos is the crocodile. If you want to find a part of the world in total fucking disarray, completely destroyed with nothing but smoking craters and people just living like animals, visit some place the crocodile visits. Visit some place the crocodile covets. Visit some place the crocodile is currently operating in with his crocodile agents from his crocodile training camps. That's the reality, folks. You know, and that does piss me off. It's like people will say, well, what do you want? Anarchy? You want anarchy? No. Well, here's the thing. Yes, but I don't want the way you're using it. The word you should use is chaos. No, I want order. And the best order is spontaneous order because it's voluntary order. It has the support of a basis, a foundation of people who give a shit. It's not order at the point of a gun. Ugh, anyways. So I've got a topic on here labeled sociological demolition. And I don't, and that's a weird one, but I don't know, this labeling methodology of scratching things off, I hope it works. I think I'm gonna have to just cross them off, but anyways, when I put this down here on my list, I was thinking about the way in which society seems to be imploding. And it's like it's a kind of controlled demolition from the outside going in. It's like how we're getting used to things. And it's also how they convince us that there's no inflation. I mean, they'll say, oh, there's no inflation, at least prices aren't going up. And it's like we all know that that's bullshit. We all know that the cost of living is going up. I'm sorry, but one of the things you have to spend on for cost of living is your shelter. Okay, I hate to break it to you. It's food, water, and shelter. That's the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy. It's not just, you know, fucking popcorn balls and fucking cell phone plans. It's food, water, and shelter. Anywho, a lot of people in Seattle don't understand that shelter is a need. Not a luxury. It's something you actually have to have. It's something that confuses a lot of fucking people in the Seattle area. I wonder why. Anyways, it seems like our society is being imploded in a very deliberate way. You know, I talk about these topics in disparate ways. Like, I have a podcast where I deal with the notion of leaving wounded on the battlefield. And listen, it's a great tactic, at least if you're dealing with people that have principles, you know, of people who have gotten used to having principles, maybe. I don't know how to put it, but people have morals. When you leave a wounded person on the battlefield, it takes two or three people to take care of them. Let me tell you something. Wounded take resources. Dead do not. Dead, it's sad. You do get sad, but you move on and you fight. But wounded, they're screaming, they're yelling, they need help. So a lot of the fucking social justice warrior bullshit, the autism, the cancer, the dementia, all of these diseases that seem to be getting worse. I mean, if they tell you that one in two kids are going to have autism in 10 years or something, why wouldn't you just scream and yell and say, this is some kind of bullshit? But people are accepting this bullshit. Americans have been dulled into accepting a culture of authoritarianism. We are told to believe something by somebody who has a PhD, therefore we believe it. It's very Prussian. It's very Prussian. Listen, this is not new either. Listen, the crocodile does not instantly become gigantic. That's something a lot of people don't get. They need to understand. The crocodile takes time to grow, and sometimes one crocodile will learn from another. And when, all of the great victories of the Prussians were occurring in the 1840s and 50s and 60s, a lot of people wanted to understand what the secret was. And so some of the Prussian organizational structures were adopted. It's just something that happened, anyways. So it does seem like there's some type of controlled demolition. And I know it sounds paranoid. I know you're saying, Dan, that's crazy. Are you saying that people are trying to implode society slowly from the outside going in some sort of structured way so it doesn't implode in a chaotic way? Basically, yeah. It's like basically they want to implode society in such a way. And I think this would be the point, so that basically they don't suffer a major revolution. You see, if they can leave us with wounded on the battlefield and with fucking pandemic bullshit and war bullshit, God forbid if they ever use nuke bullshit, if there's a nuclear war, I hope that never happens. But when it comes to the crocodile, here's the thing, folks. When it comes to the crocodile, you have to understand one thing. When it gets to the end of its life, it can do, it goes, it's always crazy evil, but when it gets to the end of its life, it becomes exceptionally crazy and evil. And rarely does it do anything that you would even call kindness. I mean, probably the Soviet Union crocodile got drunk on vodka, had a heart attack, and that's why things weren't so terrible when the Soviet Union, collapsed. But the American crocodile will probably get drunk on whiskey. And we'll get crazier, and crazier shit could happen. So when you say, well, Dan, there wouldn't be a nuclear war, that would never happen. Listen, you don't know how these people think. You really don't. And that's the other thing about this whole subject matter of the sociological demolition, the controlled demolition of our society. They have to control how we think, they have to control our sources of information, and they have to fuck with us. That is required. That is by design. They have no choice. If they're really trying to slowly implode society, they have to drift our consciousness slowly in the direction they want us to head. Now, these days, a lot of that bullshit looks like the movie THX 1138. And I know I've mentioned the movie before, but if you've never seen it, you should fucking see it. It's a good movie. Anyways, I'm going to leave that topic where it is. Like I said, I'm going to try to do better with this whole process. It's a process. Next topic. There's a famous quote that some people think is apocryphal, meaning it might not be real or that the person who supposedly said it never said it. But there is a quote that is sometimes attributed to Voltaire, and I think it's basically something to the effect of find out the people in your society that you cannot criticize, and there you'll find the source of power. It's something like that. I don't know if it's really a Voltaire quote. I know that there are lots of online organizations who will tell you Voltaire never said it. And here's the thing, quotes like this are like that fucking Chief Seattle bullshit. I mean, I'm not trying to be an asshole, but the Chief Seattle bullshit is a lot of bullshit. It's like ironized Cody. It's the sort of the simulacra of Native American culture that gets pasted over real actual Native American culture. I know it must piss off Native Americans, and it should piss off actual Americans. Anyways, But like that kind of stuff, you know, who knows if Voltaire said it or not? I think there's some truth to it, but the statement I wrote into my notebook is, what are the lies they can't live without? I mean, this is the thing. A lot of how the sociological controlled demolition works is about tapping into these lies that are essential. Like if Americans even began to question the legitimacy of the wars, that would impact a lot of money, folks. I hate to break it to you. Especially people in the Seattle area, they do not get it. They do not get it. Well, actually, they do. At an unconscious level, they do. That's why they basically support the war bullshit. But a lot of people at a conscious level will not admit to themselves in the Seattle area that a huge portion of money in this economy comes from the military-industrial complex, the security-industrial complex. It comes from spying on people, putting people in prisons, developing technology to spy on people even worse, to fucking support the wars. And then we have major bases all over the place. We've got a major submarine base. We've got fucking, you know, Fort Lewis McChord. There's a lot of military money. Oh yeah, Boeing, of course. Even companies you'd think are not in on it are. Amazon had a major CIA contract with its web services. I heard that it might be canceled, but the point is, the fact that it's an issue for the market. Mr. Market gets concerned if Amazon's juicy CIA contract goes away. You have to think about that, meditate on that. Understand how much free enterprise is working if a company's survival depends upon the fucking CIA and probably helping them run systems so they can spy on people even better. You know, I would say bravo by pissing on somebody at this point. That's so courageous, so cool. Anyways, but basically, there are lies, there are these lies, these deceptions that a lot of people cannot live without now. I don't know what to do about it either because it's kind of, it is the madness of the crocodile before it dies. When the crocodile gets the craziest, it spreads more lies and people believe the lies. I'm going to leave that topic because the next one's kind of related. So here's the deal, folks. There is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant writer by the name of James Howard Kunstler. And if you don't read his blog, he has a bi-weekly blog that comes out on Monday and Friday, pretty much by more or less 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I'm at. It's called Clusterfuck Nation. He's a brilliant writer. He is, you know, sardonic and witty and dry, and he is, you know, erudite and uses language in a sedulous fashion. I threw that word in, probably not correctly, but the point is, he uses a lot of words. You'll improve your vocabulary probably on a weekly basis simply by reading his blog. But he is somebody who has written about the topic of peak oil. And I don't want to go into it too deeply because, you know, it seems like there are a lot of these kinds of human catastrophes facing us right now. And I don't think, or at least I don't want to believe it's the end of the world. I'd like to believe there's a way out, but a lot of this crap, it does seem very daunting. And I think a lot of the people that listen to me, and I don't blame them, would love for me to throw them a life preserver. You know, and say, here is your moral life preserver. Here is your special way out of Dan's doom and gloom scenario. I don't really have it. This is the subject of what I call the oil wager. The oil wager. Now, here's the thing about the oil wager, and it's very, very demented, especially where we're at. As I noted earlier, and you do your own research, but this is really important. We are at a very special time in the history of the oil-based economy. The market price at which the market can afford to clear the oil, that means buy it, is lower than the price at which the manufacturers need to sell it. So it basically means what we already should know, that the massive derivatives, debt, corporate bond bullshit that supports things like shale oil, it will never get paid off, but what's worse, it's going to implode in a big fucking financial way. And then it's going to be a question of, hey, does the government step in? Now, the oil wager is the funny thing, because people will say, well, I invest in oil because it will go up in price. The problem is that what they're betting on is essentially the most critical input in our economy becoming so expensive, so terribly expensive, that one could not even conceive of anybody being able to do anything but become more and more poor, while a few people maybe count little piles of gold someplace. The problem with oil, and this is really something a lot of people don't get, and they really need to think about, the problem with oil is it's almost as essential as water to our economy. And the thing about water is that it is still a relatively cheap input. Yes, it's more expensive today to get clean water than it was maybe several decades ago. And that's a whole special topic in and of itself. Okay, I'm not convinced it's simply history. I think that there have been choices with respect to water too. But anyways, oil is essential for pretty much everything. I once heard a quote of a statistic that was kind of important, that, you know, that for every one calorie, you know, of food that we consume, there are 10 calories of oil used. That's a pretty daunting number, because then you begin to realize how dependent we are on that. And then you consider the possibility that things like fracking in the Midwest, vis-a-vis aquifers, are butting up against the very things that allow us to eat. So this is the thing. We're at a weird place in human history. The oil wager, the betting wager of someone who's in a market and saying, I want to make money in the market. I think short term, people can make money on what's called the Rocky Plateau. So there is an oil bet. So if you're like a finance, whatever, investing type person, there is, I think, a kind of oil bet. I know we're on the Rocky Plateau. I am 100% convinced we're on what Hubbert predicted, and he called the Rocky Plateau. We're at the point where we're going through these economic cycles, probably mainly because we're bumping up against this issue of what is the market clearing price of oil. And we very well could be at the last little cycle. Like, the first cycle probably hit us in the 70s. And then the next cycle is going to hit us, you know, next cycle hit us, I think, in the late 90s. And then another cycle hit us around 2007. And yeah, the fracking miracle kind of bought us a little bit of time, but there was a lot of demand destroyed after 2008. So a lot of that time was simply bought because so much demand was destroyed. So I don't know. I would say bet away. If you have money and you want to invest in commodities, oil's not a bad one. And yes, its price is going to keep bumping its head, but up against a ceiling. There's a realistic maximum price for oil. It is not $300 a barrel, or at least not in dollars if we were to assume a baseline dollar. The real price of oil probably will never get to what should be the real price of an ounce of gold, because it probably just can't get to there. It can't get to there. It's so essential that once it ceases to become a cheap input, no one's going to want to buy it at any price. There won't be a price. It just won't be bought. That people will simply be trying to find other fucking solutions. It's going to get grim, folks, if that's the case. I'm kind of hoping that all of the secret space program, fantastical, you know, there have been aliens traveling to Earth for hundreds of years, people. Sometimes I hope they're right. I know that according to my faith and my reason, they're probably not right. But sometimes I hope they're right. Sometimes I kind of hope that, yeah, they've got some secret, you know, Star Trek technology. Because otherwise, we're in a very tough situation, and the technology we do have is obscuring that. The smart devices, the ironically named devices, the tablets, they are obscuring what's going on around us. That this slow motion implosion, this kind of controlled demolition, it is happening around us, but it's happening so slowly we don't notice. Anyways, the oil wager bet away. So I'm at a point now where I feel like closing out this particular podcast. I want to save it out. And guess what? Because I'm in a kind of a saucy mood, I could end up producing another podcast right after this one. I want to clear out a lot of topics. I want to clear a lot of gumbus out of my glimbus. I want to get to that point of specialness. So adieu for now, but see you later.